All right, we are not having Sunday school today. We're having everyone in service today, kind of a special. Yes, that's 2 weeks in a row where there's something kind of special, something kind of different going on. And I try to do this at least once a year, called a BCC update. So we kind of talk to you a little bit about what the BCC is about, what's been like, what the journey's been like. And so it's kind of fun for all the kids to kind of hear, and we'll have a few interviews along the way. But I want to start off with this. This is Birmingham. This is where it is. And the church, the BCEC, actually stands for Birmingham Chinese Evangelical Church, is what it stands for. If you didn't know, in the English congregation, we always try to refer to it just as the BCEC. Now, why is that the case? So a few times, okay, I know right now this is ethnic majority Chinese, okay? But I have had people come and say, you know, I really enjoy being in this church, but I'm not Chinese. Can I still come to this church? It says Chinese on the outside. And it always puts us in a bit of a dilemma, right? Because we are, I mean, yes, it's true we're Chinese, but we're kind of in between. Some of us are more Chinese than others. And so that's a question that we have. So we call ourselves the BCC, so people, when they ask, they don't have to know that it says Chinese, so that maybe one day in the future, it will be called the Birmingham Christian Evangelical Church. But that would be a disgrace to our heritage, right? Oh, so complicated. With that, I want to tell you a little bit about our church. If you didn't know, first off is actually, our church has three different languages that worship in this church. Do you guys know the three languages? English, Cantonese, and Mandarin. It's a dialect. Okay, technically there's only two languages, but there are multiple dialects. Cantonese dialect, Mandarin dialect, and a lot of old ladies who speak Hakka, and a couple who speak Hokkien. But the services are only held in Cantonese, English, and Mandarin. On top of that, did you guys know that there are four congregations? There's a English, Cantonese, Mandarin, and then we have a Telford congregation that meets in Telford. Yes, that we never hear about. And this year, actually, we introduced one new service. That means every Sunday, there are five services that go on through the day. Our English morning service, which starts at 9:45. The Cantonese service, which starts at 1. The Mandarin service, which starts at 3:30. And then the evening English service, which starts at 6:45. Meanwhile, evening service, whoo, FTW. Okay, which means on a Sunday, I can be here from 8 to 9 p.m., depending on how much people loiter. I've come home at 10 before. Long days, but really good. It also means that actually, even though we are more or less mono-ethnic, like we look more slanty-eyed than other people, I can say that because I am Chinese. We are actually multicultural. What? How's that possible? But you're mono-ethnic. Doesn't the whole point of multicultural means that we have different skin tones? Actually, that's not true. Multi-ethnic would be different skin tones. And we here are more or less primarily mono-ethnic. But we are multicultural in that we have to deal with three very different cultures. Okay, now, yes, they are all maybe more Chinese. But here in the English congregation, we're much more Western, right? We say I love you to our children, I'm assuming. I don't want to presume. If not, you may be more Chinese than others. In the Cantonese, most of them were from Hong Kong, or they came over as immigrants in the 70s, 80s, and so they have a takeaway background. The Mandarin side is another completely mixed. They're from China. Now, of course, if you understand some of the China-Hong Kong political dilemmas, especially coming up to some sensitive times, I don't want to talk about that now. We're just going to leave that. Throw that out there. You guys can talk about it later. But there is definitely some cultural perspectives and differences here in these kind of groups, which also make it a kind of challenge for us. Now, for you guys in the English congregation, we normally don't have to deal too much with those other cultures because, you know, it's difficult. We don't speak their language. We don't understand what they're like. We just want to do our own thing. And it makes it feel difficult. It's like, are we really one church? But if we're one church, shouldn't we all be together in the same room doing the same thing all the time? Why don't we have more three-language translated services? Because those are the best things. It's a very Chinese thinking, which is, oh, we are united if we're all in the same room doing the same thing all the time. Okay, so a good example of this is when I go back to the States, when I was younger, I'd come home and my mom would say, okay, stay in the house, stay in the house all day. I said, I want to go out with my friends. No, you just came back from far away. Just stay in the home. Now, we don't talk to each other. We don't hang out. We're not speaking to each other. We're in the same house. But to my mom, that was like, see, we're a family because we're all together in the same place. It doesn't matter whether we communicate, but us being in the same place matters the most. Now, that kind of thinking is funny for us from the West. We're like, but we're not even talking. We're not even doing anything together. How is that united? One of the things that we want to try to emphasize is even though we are separate or kind of individual, we are still united because we are all kind of saying, well, we're going to work together and chip in to participate in letting this church grow together. Now, in the way that this kind of works is if you're involved in the church committee or you're on the pastoral team, there's a lot more involvement with the other sides in terms of the leadership level. And so we have to weigh up different kind of things. We've got to consider different people's perspectives. In fact, we have to really kind of make it work. I'll give you an example. So a couple years ago, during the church committee meeting, there is a conversation, and the conversation turned very excitable. By excitable, in my estimation, it would mean heated. And I remember very distinctly, someone stood up and shouted at me in my face. Now, it was very funny because we were not actually disagreeing. I was trying to agree with him, but he was already so excited that he was shouting at my face and saying these things, and I felt horrible. I felt so bad after that. I was like, I can't work in these conditions. I'm going to quit. This church is so unprofessional. And I was really frustrated, and I had to go through like a time of sabbatical. It was really bad. And then in hindsight, I realized this question. It was like, oh, wait, actually, he wasn't angry. He's just, that's his culture. That's how they speak. They're just, now, I can't say this without sounding racist, but certain cultures might speak louder and more directly. And now, because I'm in the West, when people speak to me that way, I immediately transition back to, I'm a child, this is my mom, I'm in big trouble, they're really angry. And while I'm being shouted at, I'm like, this is so unfair. What's worse is I can't really speak back, right? Because technically I'm employed by you guys. And so I'm like, okay, well, I'm just going to sit there, I'm just going to take it and go home and cry like I normally do every Sunday. So it's fine. And then, and so afterwards, and it took me a long time to ask God, like, God, how? Why would I stay in this church if it's going to be kind of that tension? And to help God actually help me understand, the difficulty is this church is multicultural. And the way people communicate on different levels will be difficult. And so when this person is shouting at me and so agitated and I felt so hurt, I realized he felt nothing because this was like a normal conversation he would have at work. Now, that was really important because since then has moved on in the committee meetings. When those things start heating up, it starts getting really loud and people start getting tense, I just step in, I just translate. Oh, actually, he's just saying this. And it's helpful because you start understanding, oh, I get to learn and appreciate other cultures, not just from a distance, not just as a tourist, but in actually trying to work together in things. Now, the downside of that is our church, we are working together, and the idea is actually we're like three brothers. Three brothers that have the same parent, God or Father, but instead of where the oldest congregation is the father congregation that tells all the children what to do, we all work together. Now, brothers is important because for Chinese people, we understand family. Brothers is important because you want your brothers to do well, but you also want them to be independent. You are okay with them living with you in your house together, but you want them to do well. You want them to excel. And you don't boss them around, but you want to assist them in whatever way they can. So in this case, technically the English congregation, we're the youngest brother. We are the youngest to come along. We're the latest. And for us, our idea is still, how do we bless those other congregations? Now, I'll let you in a little secret. In this year's church committee, it's been a long time coming, but this year we have the most English congregation people actually in the committee. It's been a long road. Terrence was involved before in the past, and it's difficult because the way that there is a professionalism to one culture is very different to what needs to happen here in the West. So this year has been kind of amazing because for the first time in a long time, there are things like some more HR. There's some more organization of finances. We've added online tithing. You know, there are small things we've added away. We've sorted out insurance. Even us trying to bid for that property required so many more professional skills that the other congregations just didn't have at the time. And for us, it's saying, well, we work together in that. And even if the result doesn't come out the way we want, it's okay. Because we're not in a rush. We walk along in this journey. One of the hardest parts of being in the English congregation and Chinese church is maybe it doesn't feel like we move fast enough. like we can just do all these cool things like other Western churches that you might see. Why don't we have lights? You know how long it took us to get this drum box? Oh my gosh, it was so difficult to even get to this point. You have to be patient. You have to take time. And that's something that's difficult, but at the same time, it's really good because you can grow a little bit stronger. And it has an opportunity, actually, for you to learn and grow from one another. The ideal situation is this. All three congregations are growing within their culture really well, which means they don't have their own cultural blind spots. They do have their cultural blind spots, but they're different to each other. So when we see their congregation do something different, we can look at them and say, wow, that's great. Let me steal that same idea, and let me add that to our congregation. And we can learn from each other. It's not a competition, but it is a real sense of family. As three brothers or sisters, so we can be fair to genders, you can say, like, actually, you want them to excel, and you want them to do best. And this is where we come to, and we want to talk about today, our English congregation. Now, I'll give you the first kind of question, and this was my research was on when I did my undergraduate Bible college, was English congregations in Chinese churches, should they be allowed? Like, I mean, you get it if you're Chinese and you go to a Chinese church and you speak Chinese, fair enough, okay? But we don't speak Chinese, or at least I don't really that much. Some of you guys are much better than me at Chinese. But at the same time, we don't know where we identify, right? So the question is, are we Chinese? Are we British? Are we Chinese-British? Are we British-Chinese? And for a lot of us, there's this question of like, well, actually, where do we kind of fit in, and where does this need to be? Now, the way we've looked at this, and the way I've always approached this English congregation in this Chinese church is this, okay? It doesn't matter. I don't care too much about that. We do think and look ahead like, actually, how do we kind of grow? But this is the principle that we've always kind of run along. Be the best church that we can be. Just be the best church we can be. Grow in the best way we can. Whatever that we have in terms of our culture or our perspective or the way we talk or the way we greet each other, let that flow out the most naturally in God's light and be the best church that we can be, because this country needs all the good churches it can get. We just want to be a good, solid church. We're fine. We want all the churches to do well, but this country needs every good church. We want to be a place where actually anybody, if they came in, they could find Jesus here. They could meet us. They could have a chance to come and explore and get to know who he is. And that's kind of the principle that we've kind of run along. Now, I want to give you a bit of a history. So actually, I first arrived here in Birmingham to serve in the church in 2002. My wife was already working here. She was originally from Wales, and then she moved up here, and she has been with the Birmingham City Council ever since. And so she's been in one job her whole life, and she's really good at it. I was working for COCM, and I said, okay, my last year of COCM, I was working in Sheffield. I said, can I move down to Birmingham because I want to get married? And so my wife is in Birmingham. Birmingham Church doesn't have that much in terms of youth ministry at the time, and even the English ministry was just starting. So could I come and work there? Now, it's strange because working for COCM is a bit like working for the mafia a little bit. I had to go and talk to the Queen Mother, Mary Wong, and I had to go and say, Mother, can I... I want to marry a girl. She says, you have my blessing. And I kissed her ring. It was amazing. It was a very touching moment. It was odd because I did feel like I had to ask her for permission more than my mom. I will tell a story. When I asked Fan's dad for permission if I could marry her daughter, he said, yeah, fine. I'm just glad you guys get along. I have a problem with my computer. That's as BBC dad as it can get, right? Okay, so... let me rewind. This is in 2003, and this was actually probably our first church retreat as a church. So COCM's building was just built not too long ago. So you might spot some familiar faces. This guy, Balk, he went back. This is Terrence. And look at this. This is Junie. Hey. And this is Betty, if you remember Betty. This is Ling Cheng Sing. That's me, and that's my wife. Aw, look at all that hair. And who's this young... Jojo was here so many years ago. So this is 2003. As you can see, all we cared about was Chinese food. There was no Bible teaching over that whole weekend. No, and this was bigger than it was when it first started. We used to just meet upstairs. There were just a few of us, and we would have. I would sometimes have to play. Me and this girl Roz, we would have to play the instruments, and the worship leader would turn to us and say, "Now go higher." And we'd be like, oh, okay, we'll just transpose here on the fly then. And it'd be really fun. And we were just trying to learn. And then we finally just, and then a few years later, 1 year later, I think we moved downstairs and we started having regular services here. This was the youth group in 2004. Can you spot this guy? James Tang. And look at this guy. Look, there's so much hair. It's like I'm wearing a helmet. Do you guys know what this thing is? Yes. Not an OAP, but an OHP. You put a clear plastic film with printed words on it, and then this bright light shines it up towards this magnifying glass that bounces off this mirror and makes it on this wall. Oh, so backwards. You guys want to know a secret? When we first at this church, as a romantic gift to my wife, I bought her an OHP. And we left it in church. I also made a whole box full of acetates of worship songs that they could use in church. So if there's not romance to the church, I mean to my wife there, you can see. Also, for your reference, Chinese churches are very good at not throwing stuff away. So out in the front, underneath that red blanket that covers that table, there's still a whole box of acetates. But there's no OHP in this church. Nobody knows, but no one has the guts to throw them out. Do not throw them out, just to say, okay? Let's do not make people angry. They're all Chinese songs, by the way. Okay, so this was a youth group back then. It was pretty crazy, pretty chaotic. Actually, this day was one of the first days that we came up with the name. I think the name of ID just came last week. So this week, we had just made this big poster of it. And here we are trying to have worship. This is in 2009. Jump a few years forward. The church has grown a little bit. You can see these beautiful couple here. And Hannah. Where's Hannah? Oh. And here's some more people. Here's Larry again. Still looks so young. So slim. Look at this couple. Oh, and here's Nagy. Okay, so moving on. This is Alex Chow. Okay. And then in 2010, this is another our church retreat. Here we are at Pioneer Center. And as again, you can see the church has slowly been growing over this time. So if you guys can understand, like, so some of these people, like Simon Hoi Phi, Junie Terrence, Larry, we've been here from when it was really small. So when we come to this point now, it still feels weird. Because we've been in Chinese churches for so long, we're only used to really small Chinese churches. It's strange, unless you're in London, to be part of a community that's much bigger and trying to figure out how that feel goes. I will tell you for myself, as a pastor, I also am not used to this. I always thought I would just be part of a really small church all the time. So this has been something kind of amazing to be part of and just seeing God kind of use this. And this is just last year in 2018. You guys will recognize some of your own faces now. But this is when we were at AUEA. And you can tell our church, at least our English congregation, has grown now to somewhere between 180, 200 people every Sunday, including kids, which is a pretty big journey for us. And just kind of learn about that. In the same way, our university ministry is now mostly British-born Chinese, which means that there's a space here for them to participate and actually find, for the first time in a long time, actually, I feel like I can share more within this group because I don't have the same barriers that hindered me in other times. Now, this is actually a video. There he is, this guy, hi. Loves the camera. Oh, look at what's happening here. Oh, Locke, remember this. Ah, look at this guy. Oh, so nice. Now, with that, actually, it meant that this year has been pretty difficult. There have been a lot of changes. Now, actually, Ben did some work on this for a presentation he had to do for school, for uni, just his last kind of days. But actually, this year, there have been quite a lot of changes. And actually, you may not realize it, but it has been pretty stressful. More stressful than it looks. We always do our best to try to make things as smooth as possible to make as little disruption, especially with more and more people. But it's been much more complicated than it seems. Ben highlighted that there's actually been four major types of change that had to occur this year. The first is revolutionary, which means we needed an immediate need for a solution. We needed to get out of AUEA because the rent was going on. We spent a lot of time looking for alternate venues, trying to figure out other ways to see where we should move. Should we come back here? Should we find someplace else? Then we decide, well, let's try splitting, having two services. But splitting two services is pretty dramatic for a congregation. You start saying, actually, some of you guys don't come. Some of you guys dedicate to this. You don't know how the split's going to go. environmental, which is again caused by the external decision from that venue. And finally, we had this discontinuous change where our junior pastor announced he was leaving. And although it's great blessing and great joy that our church can send someone out, from a leadership perspective, oh, it's tough. You're losing, at that point, one-third of the staff. But the church is still growing. So you think it's like, oh, it should be no problem. You know, Bert and Nancy can just pick up and take on the run. Our church is particularly blessed because we've really worked hard to still develop people. And so we knew Ben was in the pipeline. But at the same time, he still had to finish up his studies, and the church still had to vote him in. You see, the process, even to get someone voted in the church, is long and complicated. For us to kind of go through these changes, it's really deciding to move to two services, a lots of core staff. At the same time, within the English congregation, that's just our stuff. There are other changes trying to manage in the Cantonese and the Mandarin side, which I have to think about and try to deal with and try to consider. On top of that, there are marriages, there are deaths, there are births, there are all these other kind of different issues kind of happening. And we're just trying to keep our head alive. This past year was very much about, at least for us as staff, just trying to survive, weather the storm. At the same time, it's been amazing to see how God's blessed it at the same time. The evening service, it's actually really good. Like, we really love it. I still feel blessed at the end of it, still feel encouraged after each service. But at the same time, it can still be a little bit tiring, the whole kind of aspect. And it's where this is, if that's an update for where we are today, part of this update is trying to say, well, where are we looking when we go ahead? Now, for these guys who are fairly new to our church, you've only come in the year, last 2 years, about 4 or 5 years ago, there's this framework that we came up with, and I was kind of forced to release a bit earlier than I thought, but it's something called the 5 C's. And the idea was that it broke down the key areas of the church into 5 kind of areas. And this isn't a method. This isn't a blueprint of how we're going to move forward. It's not a vision. This is kind of just a framework. These are elements that we look at and say, well, you know what you might think of is, they're like APIs. Okay, so this only applies if you're a programmer, but they're like APIs, okay? And the idea is you take some of these APIs and you can, okay, forget it. Never mind. I was talking to like 4 people here. All right, but thank you. Okay, let me break these down to each of you and a bit by bit. First off is congregation. Now, congregation is what happens pretty much on Sundays, and it's the idea of this. Look, congregations, we join together to worship, serve, pray, and receive communion together. It is our big corporate thing. And these are important because at this time, you can have shared teaching. But more than that, you have a chance to come together and say, actually, yes, we worship and glorify God together. While we were at AUEA, when we had space, we introduced the oikos services, which meant you could have the whole age ranges try to have some cross-mixing. Here in this space, we can't do that. And I've looked for places to try to rent for having a separate oikos service, but it's been difficult. So this year, we tried doing just a family service and try to focus on one of those smaller areas. But the congregation is still the big place where you say, well, this is your opportunity to come and try to gain to grow together. In the evenings, we've done prayer and praise a couple times, and that's actually where you have more time for people to minister to each other and pray and also share. Something that's been really good coming out of those last 2 prayer and praise sessions is we've had different people, and they just come up and they take the mic and they like to share about what God's been doing in their life. It's been really encouraging. This year, adding the second service was one of our biggest challenges. And looking ahead, we're still trying to figure out, actually, God, what is your plan for our church? We're looking for properties, but we're still weighing up the fact on whether city center is best. It's great for transport, but with all the changes that the government's putting in with Clean Air Zone, or the city council at least, with Clean Air Zone, you're still trying to figure out, God, is there a better place for us to go? Also with finances is a question. So all these things we're still trying to pray through and consider. Now, I'm sharing this with you guys because I want you guys to be part of the praying process and saying, well, actually, these are the things that our church and its growth involve. The second part is actually community. Oh, I forgot to find that picture of a life group. Our community right now is focused on life groups. And life groups are where we grow together in communities of grace, accountability, and fellowship. And again, because we've been running slimmer on staff, trying to get the life groups more than just functioning, but developing has been good. I know a lot of people are saying, oh, Bert, why don't you just promote all the life groups and let everyone know? One of the reasons is they're filling up. The capacity is getting big. And we're not fast enough at raising up new life group leaders and also trying to best zones to do that. The good news is Ben, in his job description, whereas James took care of core. Ben's actually going to be working on life groups and helping the life group leaders and also developing that kind of ministry, which I'll be working through with him. But it means that now as our church grows, this becomes one of the key places where people still have church or that kind of connection throughout the week. Consolidation is where we start thinking, well, look, some people have personal issues, whether from counseling or emotional damage, and we're trying to say, how do we get this place where you can have their personal issues find freedom and deliverance? Now, I know in our church we've had Sue going through counseling training. At the same time, we've had Isabella and a couple others know how to do some spiritual deliverance. But knowing how to release that and implement that safely in the church is more complicated than it seems. And so although there's like, why don't we have these things in our church already? And although we have people that we can direct to ad hoc, it's not the same as saying, how can our church really provide this service? But again, with this framework, we're trying to look ahead and say, how do we help people holistically, heart, soul, mind, and strength, really grow in God? The next one up is cultivation. And we started these in the classes. And we started running them in the summer because we tell the life group leaders to have a break. And the classes we've done doctrine, we've done leadership, we've done apologetics. I think we want to do Old Testament. I think I want someone to come in and teach EQ, emotional quotient for husbands, because we feel like that might help the marriages, possibly. Anyways, but this is something that we're considering, and it's been really good. So far, these have been really encouraged. People really enjoyed those places. And we're thinking about adding a more in-depth Bible study to happen as well. And this is the kind of the cultivation. This is where your minds kind of grow. And finally, there's commission. So these five C's is, actually, this is where we challenge and look the ways to go out. So Matt started Alpha this year, and we've gotten more involved with BLI, which is fantastic. Just so encouraged to hear their testimonies, but not only that, seeing our church take more eagerness to participate and also donate money to this and be part of this opportunity to kind of grow. With that, we are spending a lot of time trying to figure out, God, what's our perspective for next year? What do you want us to do? How do you want us to build up? And in July, all the pastoral staff, including the Chinese sides, we're going to meet up together to really talk about that, which means we'll have to wrestle with different cultures, different perspectives, what they feel comfortable with, and try to grow through that. Now, I'll give you an example of how these things all to work together. So you can imagine you've got a friend, you invite them to a Sunday service, and they come, and they're like, oh, actually, Bert, this is really interesting. Is there something else that I can do? I've been coming for a while. And you say, well, why don't I come join one of the life groups? And then life groups, they come. And during the time they're in their life groups, they start to have problems at work. And they tell their life group members, actually, can you pray for me? This is what's been happening. I know Jesus is real, but I don't want to believe in him yet. But can you pray for me? And in that life group, they can have that smaller place of support. And so this guy then says, okay, wow, God really helped me. And then he becomes a Christian. And he's like, wow, praise God. And it's like, actually, what does it mean that I become a Christian now? And say, well, do you want to learn more of the basics? Do you want to look about baptism? And they say, well, why don't you come to one of the classes? You can have baptism. While they're going through the baptism class, they discover, you know what? Actually, I love Jesus, but there's a lot of issues that I've had in the past that make me difficult to trust or to love people. And the idea was then you could say, well, actually, we do have a counselor in church. Would you like to speak to them? We have someone who can do prayer ministry over your life. Would you want to spend some time to talk to them so you can get some deeper healing? And from then they can be released. And during this whole time, they're like, yeah, at the same time, they're telling their friends about thing, or they're saying, actually, I'd like to join this mission. And you begin to see how this all kind of works together to deal with these kind of different areas. We, in the past, you've tried to have like your Bible studies, your life groups do everything. The care, the Bible study, the deeper teaching, and you find out that you can't squeeze all that into the same time. So you're trying to develop a whole kind of framework. We say, well, these different elements are here. How can we grow and be part of this? The challenge for us as a congregation is to say, actually, God, yeah, what are the things I'm passionate for? Actually, I'm really passionate for God's word, or I'm really passionate for praying, or I'm really passionate to evangelize. Then you start saying, well, I want to see how I can develop or be part of these different areas and grow a little bit more. For us in the church, that's what it means. It's saying, well, how can I be part of this? Sunday service, this worship team and welcome team, that is not the bulk of the areas that the church does. That's just congregation. But actually being part of the church is a much broader picture. And actually that's where so much more of the life comes through. With that, I want to spend a little bit of time now to talk about some BCC vital microcosms. Now, if we have the five C's framework, we have congregation, community, consolidation, cultivation, and commission. These microcosms exist where all five C's happen in this one kind of group. And the two kind of sections those work in are the youth ministry and also the Sunday school. Within the Sunday school, they're supposed to do the teaching. They're supposed to have the kids get to know each other. You're supposed to help them with any kind of issues they might have. And you only have this small time slot to do it. Same with ID. You're trying to deal with all these different issues, but within this safer microcosm, because they can't just be released to the adults safely because you need all these DVS checks. So with that, I'd like to invite Hoi Phi to come up, and I want to have, oh no, not Hoi Phi, I want to ask my wife to come up first, and she's a Sunday school teacher, and I'd like her to come up and just interview her a little bit about what it's like to teach Sunday school. Now I'm doing this because at the same time I want you guys to hear what it's like, so you can say, actually, I want to be part of this. Come on up, my dearest. Yes, you may applaud. You may also bow. No, just kidding. Don't bow. Okay. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, honey.
Hi.
Can you speak into the mic?
Okay.
Am I using a different voice? Okay, let me stop. It's the voice of love. Okay. Hi. So actually, Van, how long? Oh my gosh, this was a lot more. I did not think it was gonna be like. I'm really sweating.
Calm down.
Okay. Oh, okay, it's nice knowing
don't,
that.
Don't, you don't have to.
When
look
I married
at me.
Her, I will never walk alone now.
Don't look at me.
Thank you. I had to put that. Thank you. Yeah. Okay. Yes. Okay. So, can you actually? What Sunday school class do you teach right now?
I teach the. Bubbles and Splash.
Bubbles and Splash?
Yeah.
Wait,
so we
how
had to
does that
combine
work?
Combine them
okay,
when
what,
we move back to
can you
this
help
building.
Us a little bit? What's Bubbles? No, so, sorry. What's Bubbles Sunday School class?
So Bubbles is just the name of the youngest class, which is 2 to 5 years old.
Okay, and then Splash is?
Like 5 to 8 years old.
And then now you teach that class, but you've actually been involved in the Sunday School for years and you've, when we only had one class.
Yeah.
And a crash. Yeah. But now, can you tell us a little bit, what's it like? So you guys, so Bubbles and Splash meet upstairs. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us a little bit of what it's like when you go upstairs? All right, now, hey, wait. To prevent people not wanting to join,
okay,
tell
yes,
us what
yes,
you guys
yes.
do in Bubbles and Splash.
So, so we have like worship and then game time, story time, and then a craft time.
Okay.
And a prayer time.
And what you've done this year is now that two classes are combined, how is that working out?
It was a bit difficult at first because you had to adjust to the two classes coming together. And, you know, get to know the children. Because previously I was just teaching Splash, which was, the class was, no, Bubbles, sorry, I'm getting confused now. And that class was a lot smaller. So it's been a bit difficult catering for that very big age range.
Right. But you're still managing to, so what's a tip you could give on how you manage that?
Oh, gosh. I'm still figuring it out, I think.
Okay, so in other words, you don't have all the answers and you're still doing this.
No.
Wait, okay, now let me ask this other question. Yeah. Now, you are really busy at work.
Yeah.
True or false? No, just kidding. I was going to use this moment to get more attention for myself, but that's fine. Work takes up all your time. No. Why do you, okay...
So why do
why do you teach Sunday school? I mean, you're so busy already. Why do you bother teaching Sunday school? Why don't you just say someone else in the church can do it?
Because I guess there's no... Well, I know there's nobody else. Well, not that I'm saying I'm the only person who can do it, but because there's like a kind of a serious lack of kind of people willing to do it.
Okay.
So it's... I just feel like, you know, I can do it and... You know, and I actually enjoy doing it. So even though it takes time to prepare,
even though it's difficult and takes time to prepare, you still are quite happy to do it.
Yeah, because my parents, didn't become Christians until I was 11, and even then it was kind of very slow process of change. And so for me, coming to church and experiencing Sunday school was such a blessing, and that was the only kind of spiritual adult input really I had in my life growing up, and so I think it's quite
it's really quite, valuable
it's really
actually.
Valuable actually yeah.
Um, I mean, I think that's something we don't think about a lot of times. We just think the kids, we just put them up there so they just can be in daycare so we don't have to look at them. But actually, even for you, it was your first kind of contact to spiritual life, and it made such a big impact on you.
Yeah.
Do you still remember any of your Sunday school teachers from then?
Oh, yeah, totally. Totally. I still remember the songs and, you know, the stories and, you know, where we met. And so, and that was from, you know, from quite young, you know, 5-6 years old when I started going to, you know, Chinese school in Cardiff. And that the Chinese church did it in a way was that you had 1 hour Chinese and 1 hour of Sunday school. And that was the way to kind of get, you know,
Chinese people
into church, through the kids and, getting parents, bringing their kids to.
So that's really, it's really encouraging because you find out that actually Sunday school makes not just a big impact, but makes really good memories for kids as well. So can you just tell us finally a little briefly, what does it involve when you prepare for being a teacher for Sunday school?
I don't know. Well, there's it's not as if there's a blank sheet. So there's material that we use, and quite often I just go through it and then adapt things.
So you get a chance to look through some of the material, and they have like a passage, and then they even have a craft.
Yeah.
And then it's up to you to see how much you want to change or adapt.
And so there's lots of space for, you know, creativity, because if you're good at crafts or, you know, art, that, you know, that's a good way of, you know, expanding that. And if you're good at like teaching, or, you know, maybe you're not necessarily good at teaching, but it really helps you give some skills, you know, develop your skills in maybe, you know, public speaking. Even though you're just speaking to a bunch of teenagers, kids, you have to actually think about the message that you're giving and conveying that in a way that's relatable to the audience. And if you like worship and music as well, that's another way you can develop. So that actually Sunday school provides a really, you know,
great training platform for training.
Actually, when you see all these kids in church, there's so many kids, really.
Yes.
And, you know, if you think we're supposed to be a family, you know, it's like actually these kids, you can actually have a, you know, influence in their lives and in, you know, as they grow up. So don't kind of just see them as
just somebody else's kids,
you know, because I think being a member of this church, we all kind of have a responsibility to, you know, not raise them, but have an input into their lives.
You have
lives.
A real opportunity to be a blessing in someone's life, even at a young age. Okay, thanks a lot. Let's give my wife a round of applause. And next up, I'm going to invite Hoi Phi to come on up. And Hoi Phi actually is currently in charge of the Sunday school, so she's like the organizer and the director, I guess you can say that. So that sounds so posh. But I want Hoi Phi to come up in a little bit just to tell us about why do you think Sunday school is so important? Like, what do you see our Sunday school being important for?
Well, I suppose Sunday school, first of all, is that, you know, it is, I look at it, serve the function of not just, well, first of all, is that to tell the children about God. But, of course, you know, I think it is not like, you know, we are not trying to let them all become like theologians, but then that would be great. But then I think it's more about, you know, trying to really help them to know God personally, and also know God in a real way, not just sort of like something, you know, some stories in the book or in the Bible, but also to help them to see that God really is there in their lives. And also help them to build, I would like to say that is that we are trying, still sort of like figuring out how to do it, is to try to help them to become a community or become part of the bigger community of the church. Because these kids are going to grow, you know, from being in Sunday school and then through to ID to the bigger congregation, I hope.
Yeah.
And then they are going to, it's important that they can become friends with each other to become really, to be able to support each other in their journey through life.
Yeah, like it's really that. Important. Yeah. Community, I mean, if you've never had Sunday school or you never had a youth group, actually it's a really great place to build strong community and strong friendships. It's not always up to the teachers or the leaders to answer all their questions. Actually, it's mostly among the peers that they have a chance to actually hang out and spend time together. And the Sunday school, even just at that young age, for them to play around and to mess around, it's really fun seeing the kids go a bit crazy afterwards. But it's also nice because you see that they're actually developing friendships. And you can say, like, well, there's some healthy space there to do that. With the Sunday schools, how many Sunday schools are there actually at the moment?
At the moment, there are only three classes.
Okay.
So as Fan say, one big class
upstairs,
and then there's one 8 to 11 years old in one of the classroom, and then the other one is 12 to 14.
Yeah. So we, I mean, you guys had to add. So again, one of the difficulties of coming back to this place is we don't have as many classrooms. So we had to figure out to make adjustments in that. And it's been hard because there's just a lot less space.
That's right. That's why we have to combine the younger two.
Yes.
Into one big space
upstairs. And then have the classrooms different there as well. And at the same time, adding a class for the 12 to 14 year olds was kind of like, if the Sunday service is too boring for them. And then
I think it's sort of like it's more because, well, of course, 10 years ago, we've only got babies. And then now those babies grow into teenagers. And then I think it sort of like started about 2 years ago when quite a significant number of children grow into, you know, left primary school.
Mm.
And then at that time, we didn't have a group for them. And then we just sort of assume that they would either, you know, they would just sit in the main service, and then some parents are saying that, you know, they would like a class for their children.
Sort of just trying to figure out that.
Yeah.
Because the grid class, the oldest one, is a little bit different. There's more discussion. You're trying to help even at that age start lead discussions because they start secondary school. It's a little bit like that. And so you can see there's actually a range of different kind of teachers that are involved. So even from the very young age, Splash and Bubbles, then there's a middle age where that's probably middle-aged children, where actually they're at a great age. They're enough to sit and listen. It's kind of fun to match. And then there's grid where you involve a little bit more, deal with a little bit more talk back, but it's kind of fun as well. You guys can start seeing actually there's lots of different areas for you to say, well, actually, if they'd like to get involved, I mean, speaking to you is the starting point, and then you turn them into a helper first. Is that what happens?
Not necessarily. Yeah. If you want to, especially if you have experience of teaching Sunday school before, or you think that you know, God really called you to teach Sunday school, yes, you can go straight to become a teacher.
Yeah.
And at the moment, we have helpers only for
the youngest one.
No,
Bubbles.
Splash Bubbles and also Extreme. Yes.
Yeah.
And another area that we would really need a lot of help is in terms of, you know, people with the desire and also with the knowledge of how to include a whole wide range of abilities and disabilities, you know, in a class like that.
Yeah. If you have experience dealing with trying to become a more inclusive kind of environment for those of a different range of understanding or educational difficulties, it's really a good chance because we really rely on that. We want our church actually to be one of the churches that actually knows how to cater a little bit better to those kind of areas. And it's difficult because a lot of us are not trained in that. Mm-hmm. But we think that's what can make a church great, especially a children's ministry.
Yeah.
So thank you very much, Hoi-Fi. You know, give her a round of applause. So this is really cool because it's starting to let you guys see a little bit more of what that's involved. And it means missing a Sunday service, if you're helping out once in a while, if you're teaching for a month block at a time. But actually, it's okay. I mean, really, there's another sermon. You always catch up on the podcast. But the time you get to invest in someone else's life, even in the preparation for yourself, is great. I mean, it's really powerful and really a blessing for you. The second microcosm I want you guys to share to hear and share about is the youth ministry. So I'm going to invite Anne Sonia to come up. And she's in charge of the youth ministry right now.
Hey.
I'm going to give you this. Do you want to go through your slides first?
No. You can ask All me right. first.
Okay. So, Ansi, welcome on stage.
Hey.
Tell us about, your role has had to change so
yes,
much.
Yes, it has.
Right. So, tell us first about the Sunday ID that happens upstairs. Tell us who's helping you.
Okay, yeah. So I have Terrence, I have Alex, I have Francis, and Clement.
Oh, what is that? Four boys?
Yeah, four boys. So
are you Terrence, the only girl helping?
Yeah, I am the only girl.
Oh, so sad.
It's been that way for 4 years.
Oh, so hard.
Very hard.
Oh, what would really help?
Having more female leaders.
Oh, do you see any females here?
Yes, there's loads of females here.
Oh, so funny.
But Terrence... So Terrence has been with us for
15 years?
Yeah, I think
doing
so.
Doing IE for 15,000 years?
And then, so Francis came on board when he joined us for uni. And then we had returning students, Alex and Clement,
yes,
join us as well.
Jobs in the city.
Yeah, jobs in the city. When they graduated, they came back and they saw that there was a need, a tremendous need, because they grew up through the ID system. And so they loved it and they wanted to give back.
So that's really exciting. I mean, it's good that you have more leaders now, some solid ones that we can kind of develop, wink, wink. Okay. And of course, there's still a real need for women leaders. What do you think is some of the biggest challenge? No, so that's Sunday, and then you also have to do a Friday.
So back when I was studying, before I graduated, I just focused my time on ID in the English side. But since I've finished studying, I have more time. I saw that there was a really big need in the Mandarin side because there's a lot of teenagers unsupervised and going crazy. But at the same time, I saw that they were hungry and they really wanted to learn more about God. And they had, in the Mandarin side, just parents teaching them. And I sat in on a few of their classes and I just thought, I'm not really sure about this. But as soon as I started joining, the teens really, really enjoyed it. It was like suddenly... It wasn't a parent teaching them, but rather a sister, a big sister, kind of teaching them in non-broken English.
So one of the biggest challenges for youth ministry is, for parents actually, it's really difficult because you lose the ability to communicate with your teenager. Now, let me explain why. Teenagers listen first, or anyone 18 and younger. When you are a baby, your parents have to do everything for you. They have to wipe your butt. They have to teach you how to eat. They have to help you figure out what's healthy. And they spend so much of their life carrying you and bringing you around. You don't remember it, but you'd come up to them and say, po-po, po-po. And you'd be like, you just came out of the car. You don't have to po yet. No, po-po. And then they fall on the floor and you're screaming. Now, the parent, you train your parent to care for you nonstop. And then one day you wake up and you're like, don't touch me. I don't need your help. I don't need you for anything. I can do it myself. Mom, where's the money? I don't have any money.
At what age is this then?
Yeah.
What age is this?
25. No. you understand, right? So when they start getting towards them, there's a certain independence. For your parents, it's like a shock. Wait, I literally have been carrying you my whole life, and suddenly you don't want me to be near you. And the teenager's like, yeah, obviously, because you're stupid. And I'm awesome. I'm so smart. And the mom's like, yeah, because you're so dumb. And then, so that's that kind of dynamic is where a youth ministry becomes useful. Not to solve all the problems, but to create a space for the teens to start figuring out who they are safely, and also for the leaders to say, okay, well, this is how you help understand and where to go from that. And that's some of the challenges that you guys have. Now, I guess one of the big challenges are you have to deal with some Mandarin kids, some Cantonese kids, yep, and probably in the future some more English congregation kids.
So traditionally, ID was set up during the Cantonese service slot. It still is at that slot. And that's where there was a lot of need because it was from Sunday school, Cantonese side Sunday school, and then the kids grew up to go to ID. So that's why you have Clement and Alex, and their parents went to the Canto side. But since then, I've seen that there's a tremendous need in the Mandarin side. Some of the Mandarin kids come on that time slot, but again, it's too early because their parents go to the Mandarin service. And so, so then the English kids that are growing up, it doesn't make sense for them to go to that slot either because their parents are in the morning service. And so there's a bit of tension there where, oh, do I change the time? What do I do? Like, how do we go about the future plan for ID in terms of seeing where the need is? Yeah. So basically I tracked the ages. So this was like from 4 years ago. We've had a lot of teens go through ID. As you can see, this bit here is where traditionally they start around year seven or year eight. If they come on the Sunday afternoon and then they just come up. But we've seen a lot of kids just go, oh gosh, down. We just go through the year by year. We see some kids that just go off to university. And now, this was last year, we've had, you know, GCSE kids. This year we've had, you know, the highest ages, year 12. And then we're dealing with, you know, just new batches coming in here. But we've not seen a great deal of new kids come through, partly because of the timing, partly because, you know, maybe there's extracurricular activities for the kids to do on a Sunday afternoon. So the timing of it, it's a bit tricky to work through, to the point that when it's exam season and some of the kids don't come because, you know, they've got GCSEs or they've got, you know, year 12 exams, there's maybe like two kids that show up. And it's quite challenging because, you know, the kids will be like, nobody's here. But yet we've got five leaders to two kids. It's quite funny because we are people. We're not nobodies. But actually it's still working through and still supporting them through it all, even during the exam periods where it's really quiet.
I mean, that's one of the biggest challenges now, right? Trying to figure out what ID or what it looks like. Because the other part is the culture is a little bit different. So the Cantonese kids, so the issues they kind of struggle with, there's teenage issues, but what was most important to them, find their identity, isn't the same necessarily for higher performing Mandarin kids or even the English congregation kids.
Yeah, it's definitely very different from how I was growing up and even with some of the leaders and how they grew up. But a lot of it now is very academic-based performances and even down to, I've got orchestra, I've got this, I got piano, I got loads of things to do. Mm. But that's okay, but we're still going to support them and still provide a space for them to come to and get spiritual feeding when they do come. And I think one of the purposes of ID is to, raise them up so that they are spiritually strong enough to leave home when they go off to university or college or future careers and to have that foundation in place.
Yeah, I think one of the big things we can be praying for the youth ministry is just not for the leadership, really, first to figure out what's the best way forward. Like I said, since Anthony and I have been a little on survival more, just trying to adjust these changes, it's been hard to really do a lot of forward thinking and planning and having that space to do that, as well as just trying to deal with the week-to-week kind of different issues going on. But I think really praying for her and also the team, looking ahead to see what that's going to look like. Youth ministry is really powerful and really impactful, and we partner with COCM for their Warrior Conference and things like that. But having a strong base here is great, not just for our church, but actually for the wider community. When we talk about their schools that they're in and the opportunities there, we really believe that God can make a bigger impact at that age range across the spectrum.
But we only meet like 1 to 2 hours on a Sunday. But a lot of the help comes when, you know, the parents are also part of it and also part of the young person's journey and also with the supporting church as well. But I think in terms of, you may not realize it, but when I was going through youth group, I remember my leaders. I remember those that invested in me and actually cared. And so I think, youth group is a time where you have older people that aren't necessarily your parents' age, but an older brother or sister in whom you can confide in and seek advice from. And again, you make friends for life in a youth group setting. I'm still friends with a lot of my youth group friends. But yeah.
Great. Thanks a lot. Let's give Auntie a round of applause. And so with that, just kind of to close, I want us to get back and just really help you guys understand what is the heart of the BCC, and this is who we are and why we do what we do. It is this verse in Luke. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. I know that 5 C's framework, all of that is trying to help us to love God more with our heart, soul, mind, and strength, to get the stuff out of our life so that we have more space and more capacity to love him with all that we have. In the same way, to have us to be able to love our neighbor and let that really flow out from us. In fact, we believe that the best way to love God, perhaps only the only way to love God, is through Jesus Christ. It's when you know Jesus that actually you have this beginning to understand how great God's love for us is, that our hearts can be open to his Holy Spirit, that we can receive that love and let it pour out from us. And for us, it always starts there, saying, actually, God, let me grow closer to you. Let me understand and love Jesus more. Let your Holy Spirit work more powerfully in my life so that I can love you more, so that I understand what love is. So the things that prevent me from loving that I don't even know, remove those things so that as I love you, I will naturally love people outside more. See, everything that we do here in the church, all of the, you know, whatever programs, but actually just this space, those life groups, it's centered about that, about loving God with all our heart, soul, mind, and loving our neighbors. It's about growing in love to God and letting that love pour out with action to those around us. In other words, if you are coming to church because you just, it's fun, or you're coming because of the habit, or you're coming and you're expecting us to do things in your life to fix things, that's not what this is about. The church is all of you guys. And it's like every time coming here and say, God, actually today, I don't know who the preacher is. Maybe they're good. Maybe they're not. Help me love you more through that. God, the worship, maybe the music's out of tune. Maybe it's okay. God, let me love you more through that. And let that love flow out from me. The power is not in how good the band is or even how great the preacher is. The power is when you go and seek God and he has the ability to speak to you through that. With that, that's how this community comes to life. When we were a small church and it was just a few of us, we were all together because we were like, well, we're not trying to build a church. We were just trying to love each other and love God more. And it just flowed out of that. The same thing. It's what we desire for this church, letting that come out. Let us love more fully, let us love more freely and more genuinely. If that's our heart of who we are, these are our core values. That our community here, it's a learning community. It's a willingness to try, to fail, adapt. So even when Hoi Phi is saying, this is what we're trying, we're not there yet, that's fine. We don't have to be perfect. We just want to keep going, keep attempting and seeing how things develop. We're a gracious community, which means that we know that we're going to sin. And we know that there are people here who sin. And we know that there's people who are struggling or trying to figure out. We're gracious. We're going to learn how to forgive. And we're going to say, well, we're going to come to the love of Jesus together in that. And finally, we're a wider community. We're going to look outside and say, actually, everything we learned here, we want to share for free with people outside. We are Wiki Commons. Everything's just given out because we don't want to hold on to it for ourselves. This past year, we weren't able to do as much. Yeah, we did Ecclesia, Doxy Ecclesia. But trying to really look out and see how to bless, especially those Chinese churches out there, that's something we're still trying to think about. The heart of who we are and who God made us is people who love God with all our heart, soul, and mind, and love our neighbor as ourself. Will you join me in prayer? Lord Jesus, we do really just come before you and say, you know, this is your church. We are your people. And God, we really need to learn what it means to love you more. And there are always things and barriers in our heart, maybe fear of trying to serve or, but even as we've heard today, Lord, kind of the needs and at the same time seeing some of the things that have been happening in the church, Lord, let our hearts just yearn for more of you, Lord. Yearn for more of what you can do through us, with us, in spite of us. Lord Jesus, you are so wonderful and it's such an honor to be called your children. Let's never forget that. Lord, as we come now to worship, Lord, as we respond, Lord, if, you know, let's use this time not just to sing out to you, Lord, but to really use this time to pray, to seek you, Lord, to ask you, Lord, what is it that you desire of us? You know, what is it that you want from us, Lord? Because you are God and you are God alone, Lord. There is no other God but you. We lift this up to you, Lord, and we just want to come and worship you now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As you respond in song, actually just take this time as well, just to, if you feel moved to pray for someone, if you want to pray for even Hoi Phi and Simon or Sunday school teachers or even the kids or aunts, you or any of the leadership, just feel free to go ahead and do that. Just really use this time to say, God, yeah, actually, you really use me to be a blessing to people around me. Let's come and worship.
Shall we stand?